So when we are not allowing ourselves to take up space, when we are playing small, we are in a state of suppression. We are suppressing our creative
Welcome
energy.
To the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara
Welcome
Sage.
To another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate, inspire women in their power, in their authenticity, and in their bliss. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I am a womb shaman, a Kundalini Shakti activator, and I'm here to help both men and women, in all honesty, create exactly what they desire, no matter the obstacles. And through that type of deep understanding of self, we activate our ecstatic selves. It's really what I've been through in the energy of you know, activating that energy of bliss, ecstasy, orgasm in myself a lot lately. It's so delicious. And today I felt called to talk about taking up space, what that means, how we have been programmed not to do it, specifically as women, but for both men and women, the fears that are associated with that, and what happens when we gift ourselves full expression, the freedom, the liberation. You may have heard this terminology in spirituality, or you may not have. It might be new to you, taking up space. Really, what it refers to is our full, authentic expression. Now, remember that expression can be verbal expression, but it can also be through the clothes that you choose to wear, through the way that you do your hair, through what you are choosing in your life, and through what you create in your life. So the car that you choose is a form of expression. Where you live is a form of expression. You know, the job that you have is a form of expression. All of this is the expression of our creative energy and ultimately our creator consciousness. So when we are not allowing ourselves to take up space, when we are playing small, we are in a state of suppression. We are suppressing our creative energy. I always like to touch on the fact that most people think of creative energy as creativity, right? Being artsy. But everybody has creative energy, and you're constantly in your creative energy because you are constantly, in every single nanosecond, creating your reality. So if you're one of those people who thinks of creative energy as creativity, I invite you to start reprogramming yourself. Start to see it as simply pure potentiality of consciousness that you are, that you're connected to, and that you create through your thoughts, beliefs, and actions. So a suppression of your creative energy. And suppression and depression are very similar words because they're rooted really in the same context. Depression comes about when the depth of our sense of unsafety in who we really are authentically, who we desire to be as an expression of our soul in human form. It takes a great deal of energy to suppress your creative life force energy. It takes a great deal of energy to play small, to not take up space. people often think that to be successful in whatever context you want to apply that to, successful in love, successful in career, successful in creation, we have to express a great deal of energy. We have to do a lot. Exert. Thank you, higher self. We have to exert a great deal of energy. And it's important to understand that we're always exerting energy. You are always exerting energy, whether that energy is choosing to sit down and exert very little energy, or be highly active and exert a lot of physical energy. You can still be exerting the same amount of energy in those two forms. They're just different kinds of energy. So to suppress your creative energy requires a great deal of exertion, of essentially force. You are pushing against the natural flow of your being. When we actually connect to that energy and start to allow it to come through us, we actually find that it takes less exertion, seemingly less energy, because we're just simply opening up the floodgates, opening the dam, opening up all of the protective mechanisms that we have in place to allow the energy through us. We're still exerting energy, but it becomes the energy power, which is organic, self-nurturing, self-maintaining, and in service to all. Whereas suppression, force, actually only serves the self. That's an interesting statement. Let me phrase it a different way. When you suppress your authentic self, you're only serving yourself, the small self, your ego. When you are allowing for the full expression of your being, of your authenticity, and in taking up space, when you have the audacity to claim who you are and bring it forth into the reality, that is power, which is serving the whole. We often don't see it that way, do we? In fact, I would even attest to the opposite. Most people think that those who are claiming themselves authentically, that they're in some level of force and service to self, and that those who are keeping quiet and small unto themselves are serving the whole, and that's not true. So if you feel that, or if you have perceived that, I invite you right now to become aware of that program, that you are doing a service to humanity by playing small. No. That you are doing a service to humanity by suppressing your creative power, your sexual power, your creative life force energy? No. Now, of course, there are individuals who are out there pressing themselves into society in the energy of force as well. That's not what we're talking about here today. We're talking about authentic self-expression. And authenticity comes from the soul. And because it comes from the soul, it is of the energy of isness, beingness, oneness, and serves the whole all. And you can feel it. It's palatable in your body and in your being when you are aligning to it and choosing to take action from it. So this playing small, like I said, is very common in women, but it's a pandemic across humanity. And we don't know how to authentically express ourselves. And we are oftentimes ridiculed for authentically expressing ourselves. The other day on LinkedIn, somebody reposted a man's post who said I get up at 5. By 5:30, I'm in the gym. By 8 o'clock, I'm starting my work. 9 o'clock, 9 p.m., I'm checking emails. 10 p.m., I'm in bed. And apparently, he triggered a bunch of people. Apparently, there was all of this backlash. And the person that was reposting it was contemplating, a place of curiosity, why? Why did this post get so much backlash? And a lot of people said, how dare he? You know, he's in his ego. He's saying, look at me. That's not what I felt at all energetically from hit the post. From the post, I actually felt inspiration. Like, this is something everybody could be doing. Nothing that he said was a privilege. Well, maybe going to the gym is privilege, but you could work out, right, and not go to the gym, and it's not a privilege. Nothing he stated was from a state of privilege or money or anything like that. It was of using one's will and applying oneself to their day. And that's what I received from it. That's what I felt from it. But he had all this backlash about his ego and how he wanted to be seen. And this is often what happens when we take up space, when we express, particularly because this has not been a place of safety. This has not been normal. Now it's becoming more normal, like the LGBTQ plus community is really bringing forth authentic expression. Whether you agree with everything that they are, that they do, is irrelevant. You can say that they are desiring to have full expressive power. They are desiring to have liberation of expression of self. And that's beautiful. So they're helping to blow through these limiting beliefs that humanity carries about how dare you take up space? How dare you be truly who you are? So we have fear. We have fear that if we, it can be so simple as dress the way that we want to dress. If we say what we really want to say, not from a place of speaking our mind, which is different than speaking truth. People speak their mind all day long, and they're often in their ego and in their wounding. Speaking truth, however, comes from your heart, and it serves the whole. That doesn't make it any easier, because sometimes those messages do come straightforward. Sometimes they are raw. Oftentimes I have this expression that comes through me that is very cutthroat. And it's been a challenge for me to bring it through in the truth of how it truly desires to come through and not soften it. I have softened it for my fear of how it will be received. And this happens sometimes in group settings, sometimes when I'm just posting on social media, and oftentimes in one-on-one sessions with my clients. Meanwhile, I've had so much positive feedback. I've had so many clients tell me, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful you told me that. It was exactly what I needed to hear. I've had mentors tell me, this is one of your gifts. That doesn't make it any easier. Just because I know it's truth that wants to be spoken out of my mouth, it's very much like the grandmother energy I like to equate it to. It's that energy, that love, that sometimes comes through very, very tender, very, very soft, very nurturing, and other times is a slap on the face, a wake up. Come on, pull yourself up, stand up, brush yourself off, move forward. But just because it's truth doesn't make it easy to express. I've had to, in my own self, open up more and more, allow it just to come through as much as I can without my judgment, my own internal judgment that says, oh, that's too harsh to say that, or that's too intense, or that's too. Let's soften it. Let's drop it down. Let's make it smaller. And I've experienced this with the clothes I wear, just feeling sometimes like I want to wear something and it's not, it doesn't show anything that would be, you know, anything like that. It's just beautiful or pretty or very, very feminine or kind of like edgy. And I want to wear it. And my judgment will say, no, you can't wear that, or you'll, you know, make other people uncomfortable, or it's too much for this situation or this event. And I've had to, once again, give myself permission. That's what I want to wear. Who cares what the event is? How does the event, the circumstances, get to dictate my expression? Do you see how we do that? The circumstances get to dictate my expression, or does my authenticity get to dictate my expression and therefore influence, penetrate, activate, perhaps even trigger the circumstances, which is what we want in creator consciousness. That is your penetrative nature. That is your inner masculine. And the true masculine energy doesn't say, well, according to this circumstance, we're only going to do this. The true masculine energy stands in truth and penetrates. It doesn't have to be harsh and angled and sliced. That's not what penetration is. Sometimes penetration is very, very tender, soft, gentle. But the energy, the essence through which the penetration comes in from the masculine, from the divine masculine, is not per the circumstances. It is per the essence of the current creative energy and how that energy desires to come through us. And, you know, taking up space is also very energetic. I'm speaking to some things that are much more applicable to the physical reality, but taking up space is very energetic. You literally have energy bodies that expand and contract. You have energetic centers, your chakras, that expand and contract. And you constantly expand and contract all of them. And oftentimes we are contracting down, we're bringing down our fields, our energetic bodies, we're shutting down our chakras because we fear bringing our energy, making our energy big, having a large presence, because that's what that means. When your energy is expanded from a place of power, meaning you're drawing up that Shakti, you're drawing up the creative life force energy, and from that drawing up, you are expanding your field, okay? Not diluting your field by just expanding it out. You have to be deeply grounded and pulling that power up. And you're expanded out in your fields, and your chakras are open. You have a palatable presence. In fact, I would invite you to explore this. You can sit in your car and breathe into your body and give yourself permission to take up space, activate your Shakti, light yourself up, expand, 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 and then walk into a store and just notice from a neutral observer, no expectation, no, hey, are you feeling me? Right? Just curious, neutral observer, what happens when I'm in this me, when I'm in this energy, because every single person carries a different presence to them. What happens for you when you activate yourself and then you move in to a space like that? What happens? What happens? Be curious. And the other side is the reflection. How does it make you feel? How do you feel walking in? Because if you have any sense of your energetic bodies, you will feel them. You will feel them. They are there long before your physical body is, right? Your energetic bodies arrive everywhere sooner than you do. And that's so much in every realm, the physical and the quantum. So as you're walking through the space, your energetic bodies are hitting other people before your physical body is anywhere near them. How does that make you feel when you're spread out like that? Does that feel safe to you? And if it doesn't feel safe, that's very important for you to know. Because you have a belief structure that it's not safe for you to take up space. It's not safe for you to have presence. It's not safe for you to be activated in your creative energy. And what that means is every action you take is going to be smaller, is going to be contracted, is going to be diluted, is going to be less than what you're truly capable of. Now, your presence, your capacity, your potentiality is different. Everybody is different. So this isn't about whether you want to be, seen in society, or whether you want to be a big shot or a celebrity. This has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about your genius and the true impact, the potential of the impact of your genius, which is unique, 100% unique to you. Regardless of what it looks like, everybody has a massive potential for impact. It's just going to be unique to them. Some people, that impact could be, I like to bring up gardening a lot because it's a very contrast to like what I do, right? Speaking and being out in the eyes of the public. Some people maybe are going to be gardening and creating these magnificent vibrational food for people. Or other people might be very reclused and secluded, and they invent something that transforms humanity, right? It's so unique. You could write books, write children's books. You could be anything, literally anything. You can even, some people are really good at AI and technology, and so they're doing these things and they're making a huge impact through those mechanisms, through those channels. So I want to be clear that the impact is unique to you. So don't get caught up in what impact, you know, how we see impact in society. But we're all playing small. And the point is that you will never reach your full potential in this life because there is no cap. There is no ceiling on your potential. There's always room for more, which I find very exciting. Because instead of I need to get somewhere to be valuable, like I need to get to my highest potential in this life so that I feel that this life was valuable, we just grant ourselves the journey of continuing to expand and grow and improve and take up more space and allow more and more that creative life force energy through us. But humanity has been controlled, you know, and I don't get into the stories of it because it's not important. It is already in our past. The whole story of suppression of humanity and suppression of women and the control, it's already in the past. And it's also can be beneficial to remember that is what we've been created in, and that we have to continuously gift ourselves permission to let go of these boxes that we've allowed ourselves to be placed in, that we've ultimately put ourselves in. And so much of it has to do with the fear of being received. Okay. And of course, this goes back through so much wounding of women and witch trials, but goes beyond that. There's been so many different cases. I mean, you know, the Hitler and the Jews and all of that was a massive wounding for humanity, as was slavery. So, and there's so much more than that, and particularly in the history of humans that goes beyond the known history. We have so much wounding around our power and around it not being received and being killed and rejected and chained and enslaved because of it. And so that wounding is there. It exists in your DNA and in your genetics. And so part of what we're doing now is saying that we no longer desire to subscribe to that. And it's a global movement. And we do that by recognizing where we are suppressing ourselves and recognizing where we are giving power to the fear of rejection, of abandonment. And we're saying, I can't do this because I will be rejected. Well, that is a belief. I can't say this because I won't be received. I can't wear this because it's too much. All of those are belief structures. And all of that is where you're literally suppressing the creative life force energy within you, which again, I will emphasize, takes a great amount of exertion. So if you are tired all the time, if you are overwhelmed, if you feel stuck, if you get sick a lot, if you get run down a lot, yes, it can be from overexerting, overdoing, and not listening to your body when you need to rest. It can also be from suppressing our creative energy. Not listening. It's always about not listening. It's always about not listening to our truth, to our authentic self, and listening instead to the belief structures, the fears. And it doesn't have to come out all at once. Like, you don't have to own all of your expression, all of your genius, all of the things right now, today, go. Because honestly, it would be too much, most likely, for your nervous system. And, you know, I don't mean too much as in the context we were just speaking too much. I mean that our bodies are the most dense structures of our being. And our bodies process energy slowest than your emotional body, your mental body, your ethereal, subtle bodies. So the body takes a little bit more time, and that's okay. Just like the physical reality takes a little bit more time. It is a physical structure. It is much more dense. We want to give it time. So you don't want to just shove yourself off a cliff unless that's the message you're getting. Then by all means, I've done it a lot. There are times where we need to jump off cliffs. And there are times where we want to be taking really slow action. There's times we want to be taking medium action. It's not about the measurement. It's about if you're listening or not. Do you see that? Because just as I said, there have been times I've taken great leaps of faith. 3 times very specifically in my life where I have jumped and radically transformed my life. And that was very applicable. The message was very, very clear. And so I wasn't doing it because I, you know, heard somebody talk about it, or because I felt like, oh, I've got to do this from some mental concept. It came from within. And of course, I had a lot of fear around it. I had to face it and do it anyways. But the message came from within. Other times, the message is take action bit by bit. And so again, the intelligence is internal to how does this want to come through me? How does the liberation of my expression and my authenticity and my full creator creatrix power want to unleash? Like even that word unleash kind of sounds like you're just going to open the floodgates, but that's not always the case. So it's about listening. It's always, always about listening. And if you find that you're always moving slow or you're always taking tiny steps, a good thing would be to ask, are you really listening? Maybe the message has been, pick it up, go, let's go. And you're slowing everything down. No, I can't handle it. I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. Let's slow it down. That's not internal messaging. That's your fears, your emotions, your wounding, slowing down the process. And I would say that happens quite frequently. So it's important to know, is the message really your internal intuition, wisdom, higher self? Or are you slowing, suppressing yourself for fear? And that question is all the time, because again, it's dynamic. Like, is our life like we are dynamic creatures. We cannot answer one of these questions and then just think that that's the answer for the next couple of years. It has to be dynamic. And it's all about connection to self. But with this suppression, another example is today I was in a group setting with women. And one woman was talking about how she's gone through so much spiritual evolution that she's just at peace and she has no more desires. And she was talking about the duality and what if you don't desire any materialism anymore. And she kind of alluded to the ego or said ego. And it's important to understand that desires and ego are not the same thing. People love to put those things together. And let me be clear, you're always creating. So if you ever get to a place that, oh, I'm content with where I'm at, I'm good, I'm solid, I'll just stay here, you're not being honest with yourself. That's just the truth of it. Because your soul always has the next availability to you. It's not about chasing that. But it's also not about suppressing it and telling yourself, oh, I'm good. I'm at peace. I feel content. I'll just stay here. There can be moments of that. Just like there's a pause between the inhale and the exhale. Those pauses are part of the creative process. But also don't become identified with them and think that they are better than other phases. All of the phases, the expansion, the contraction, the pause are all important to our evolution. So if you're just thinking, no, I'm good, I don't feel any desire to create anything, I don't feel any desire, then you are in suppression. Because the creative life force energy desires to continuously flow through you. So you can shift the perspective from what am I trying to chase, obtain, get? Because sometimes that's what these people are referring to, is that desire, that ego of getting, of obtaining outside of themselves. And you can think of, how does the creative energy desire to move through me? What does it truly wish to create? What does my genius wish to create with this creative energy that always wants to come through me and is most healthy when it is in flow? When it is in flow, whether that is at times a very high flow, at other times it is an ebb flow, and other times it is a pause flow. Okay? I know that all sounds contradictory, but it's the way creative life force energy moves. So it's not always just in this intense surge of energy. And if You know, you have been through the menstrual cycle, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there are surges of energy through our monthly cycle. And then there are softening of energies. It's just like the moon, the full moon, the waning, the waxing, the new moon. All of that is a representation of how creative energy works. Okay. But it's still in some sort of movement, even in the ebb and in the stillness, because you are always creating your reality. So it's always in some level of flow because you are constantly creating every single moment of your life. It's just sometimes that's in more of an introspective way, a drawn in manner, and other times that's in a neutral state of stillness. So suppressing, it takes a lot of energy. It will wear you out. It will make you feel stuck. It will make you feel like you don't know yourself. It'll make you feel like you're misaligned. You're not in alignment. There's no coherence to your life. It'll make you feel unfulfilled, but safe. But it has this kind of like safeness to it because of all of the programming of rejection and abandonment we've received. So it's like, well, it's safe, but it's not truly safe. I want to really make that clear. It is not a safe state. Your safety is irrelevant of your external circumstances because you are an infinite being. You are already safe. You have to understand that if you want to really powerfully grow yourself, expand yourself, if you want to experience these higher states of isness, beingness, soul level consciousness, you have to understand that you're always safe. So when we place the safety in some sort of like box of, as long as I do this, I'm safe, which is very subconscious belief structures, we're just staying in the energy of comfort. That's not safety. Comfort and safety are not the same thing. But maybe you can see how they've been put together. I'm comfortable, I'm safe. But they're not the same thing. So then as we learn to open our expression, first it can be a little bit unsettling. It can be kind of like you're gaining your balance. All of a sudden, you're kind of up on your 2 feet and you're walking on a balance beam and you're trying to figure out where is that center point? Where is that center point? And so don't expect yourself to be able to walk down that balance beam and just pull off a flip right away. You may or may not be able to do that. But if you can't, that's okay. You're finding your center. So let yourself fall off, get back on, fall off, get back on. All of those moments are important for loving yourself through the process. And then as it comes out more and more, you'll have a sense of, this is who I truly am. This is home. This is my genius. This is my soul shining through my human expression. It's the most incredible thing you can ever feel. It creates that sense of fulfillment, of joy, of bliss, of peace, of content. You are content. And you can still create, you can still expand from a space of I am, I am, I am, and therefore I create, rather than I'm not, and therefore I need to become. Do you see the difference? It's radically different. And the I'm not, therefore I need to become is still a suppression of creative life force energy. No matter where it's pointed at, no matter where that I need to become is, it's still a suppression. So I am, and therefore I create. Ah. I am, and therefore I create. I am, and therefore I actualize. I actualize that into my existence. I actually am. I actualize that into my physicality. It actually is. So I hope this has brought you some insight and perhaps some things to reflect on, some things to contemplate, and definitely some questions and some ways in which you can really dive into this. Is I think clothing is one of the most external factors that we can really look at. Am I really wearing what I completely want to wear? And it may take some real inquiry and curiosity. You may need to go to a mall, try on all different kinds of things, like across a crazy board, try on things that you've never put on, and then notice what you feel. Because if it's in alignment for you, you'll feel this like, oh my gosh, and then there will be all of this judgment. Oh my God, you can't wear this. What do you think you're doing? This is ridiculous. So it's a really great way to start to connect with how suppressed am I? When I first did this, I realized why I had been jealous of women who dressed a certain way, because I'd always wanted it and I didn't let myself do it. And I envied them. It was like a envy, like, that's so beautiful that they can dress that way. I can't do that. I didn't think I could do it. And as I put on these like crazy zebra pants and these other things, and like, oh, I had this like, ah, oh, and then immediately this like, oh my God, these are ridiculous pants. You can't wear this. Who do you think you are? So that's a really great way to start to play with this. And you'll notice, you'll really see how programmed you are. And then you can take it from there with regards to verbal expression and other ways of expressing in your life. The ways that you present yourself into society, ways you present yourself around other people. Your career, your job. I mean, let's be real. That's a huge part of our time. Is it really what you want? Are you really saying yes to yourself? What if you tried on a different costume in the context of career, business, position? What would happen? Who would you want to try out to be? You know, think of it as kind of like the actor, actress. If you could step into a role of somebody, not a person, but just somebody as in an identification, who would that person be? What would she be doing? What would her career be like? What would her life be like? And where is yours? And noticing the difference. And it's all okay. No matter the difference between the two, it's perfect. The awareness is the first step. Absolutely, the acceptance you've been suppressing yourself, the acceptance that you're not your authentic reality, you're not your authentic genius. Like, own that, love yourself for it, accept yourself for it. That's the first step. And then start to invite yourself. How can you be more of that? How can you give that version of yourself more permission? Play with the energetics of it. I have nothing to do with physical, right? The breathing into the body, call up your Shakti, activate your energy. If you need a meditation to do that, I have plenty of them. Just email me info@alarasage.com for a Shakti activator meditation. I will gladly give it to you. Activate yourself, then walk around somewhere. Walk around outside with no people. How does that feel when you're taking up lots of space energetically? And then walk around with lots of people or just some people. Be curious, explore, try it out. What does it feel like? What are the belief structures there? It's a glorious, glorious space to become curious in and to keep giving yourself permission. As always, I'm so thankful for you spending this time with me. I'm so grateful for you being here with me. Every Tuesday is a solo episode. Every Thursday is a guest episode. And as always, please share this because honestly, it is the audience that really makes this applicable for me. And I'm bringing forth my time and my energy. And so the best way that you can honor me and be grateful for this content that I bring you is by sharing it with anybody. And even in random spaces sometimes is really fun to share it. Try not to judge who you share it with. Try not to suppress the urge to share it. Just share it. Let the creative energy come through and let it do its thing. People will either receive it or reject it. It's not up to you. I love you all so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mwah. Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.